Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Spilling the GNT Podcast. You're here with Bolo.
Dr. Tom.
Now, we're here to give you the opinion you never really asked for.
We're giving it anyway.
That's right.
Bolo here's a performer.
And Dr. Tom's a psychiatrist. And we're here to give you our professional review on RuPaul's Drag Race
UK versus the World 2.
So let's raise a glass.
Or a bottle.
And start filling.
GNT.
Clang. Everyone, welcome back to the live review podcast. We're looking at UK versus the World 2. They're smashing it.
They're smashing it, aren't they?
You know what? It's nice to have something to look forward to at the end of a hard working week.
Something in life, just to keep us ticking over, frankly. Yeah.
Something. You know what? There's two things now. Now it's Maths Australia.
Well, that we've got a little reward every day of the week, pretty much now, haven't we?
And then
we?
They stop on Thursday. Mm. But then we've got Drag Race on Friday and Saturday.
TV is just being too good to us,
the gift that keeps giving. And we're here for it, and we love it.
Yeah.
We can always get straight into it, but we know that this week's going to be a rusical.
We are. We know this, yeah.
And there's this meme going around about Gothy Kendall's face, you know, when they, because they showed previews about next week being rusical, and her face kind of really dropped. And there's this meme around of her face, and oh no, you know, Gothy, oh damn it.
It's a Gothy.
Jan has reposted on Twitter and quoted saying, don't worry, the best singer won't win.
Janice.
Obviously, that's, and you know, she's going back to the Madonna, the musical, you know, I wanna rule the world.
Rule the world.
That's what she is referring to when I think she should have won. I think she should have won that.
Roll the tapes. We loved her in Madonna the Musical. One of my favourite musicals ever. Nothing to do with the subject matter whatsoever. She smashed it. Gigi was fab as well. It was a very hard episode to judge because there are several pretty amazing performances. Jada Essence Hall as Erotica.
Right. She was Justify My Love era. Sex on legs.
She was just serving, you know, high class sexuality. And there were lots of really good performances. It was hard to really narrow down the top three, I think.
I think that was the top three. I think that's very easy.
Adna Widow is pretty good as music here in Madonna.
Tom.
Do you know who was spared? Jackie. As Virgin here in Madonna.
Oh, gosh. And who was thrown? That's right. Who was? They threw Britta to the wolves for no reason. She was really good.
Her singing was great. I mean, there was, you said at the time,
God save the gays, LGBT.
And it was a very joyful performance, very in keeping with kind of Blonde Ambition.
Yeah.
Like a prayer era Madonna. It was sad to see her go in that episode. But Jan did win another rusical, but it wasn't one that featured her lyrics.
That wasn't a rusical.
They call it a rusical. That was a Super Bowl.
Halftime performance.
Super Bowl.
And you know what?
Ladies.
The more I think about it, the more I do feel that Trinity K. Bonet's Beyoncé, bring back my girls.
I mean, yeah.
She should have won.
So if we're kind of rearranging things in the universe, I mean, Gigi Good could stand to lose one of those wins. She had four by the end of the season. That's fine.
And she still didn't win.
Well, there are many reasons for that.
Oh, absolutely.
There are many reasons for that. But there we go. Yes.
While we're on the topic of rusicals, Tom, who has done a rusical in this cast? We haven't yet watched the episodes. I just want us to talk about, I want to conversate with you. Talk about like who's done rusicals in the past. When I think about it, Tia Coffey wrecked the rusicals. Wrecked that fever.
She didn't do that bit though, did she?
No, she did the
my tale has fallen off.
Death drop. Shablam. She did a great job.
She did a great job. She was high that week. So Veronica Green got the win with the excellent Rat Bite Fever. The other one that was high was Ellie Diamond.
I mean, roll the tapes. She was pushed. You know what? If Gothy Kendall bought a ticket to the immersive experience for UK versus the world, then Miss Ellie Diamond bought VIP platinum.
She really was given the finale.
Okay, no, that's unfair. That discredits her hard work for that episode. However, that VIP got her but to the top.
The weird thing was putting Tace in the bottom when they were a duo. And there were problems with them syncing up, but
RuPaul Drag Race. Beautifully awkward.
Tace did better than Ellie. And if you're going to put one of them in the bottom, it should have been Ellie.
From memory, I do
memory.
Think...
Memory! That was lip sync
from
that
memory, Ellie did do a good job, actually. Maybe there was there's stuff up, but I do remember thinking, oh shit, Ellie can really dance and perform. And that's the episode that she, you know, according to Tace, you know, dropped like a sack of spuds on her death drop. So
I'm convinced you're contradicting yourself there, but there we go.
But Tace, I don't think she should have been in the bottom, but then she delivered us that.
She did.
That picture perfect lip sync.
Oh.
Like, it's art.
Her screenshot.
Her face was
around the world.
Art.
Dripping with blood, but still gorgeous.
How?
Fake blood, thankfully. So I do have information at my fingertips here. Let's think of our other UK girls. Charitha's never done a Rusical. There wasn't one on season 3 when they should have had one because they had 2 musical theatre girls. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird to me. But Charitha has done a girl group challenge. I know it's not the same, but sometimes you just got to draw on what you can.
Oh, BDE.
Yeah. She got a win.
This is my didn't, and this is my that.
She did her rap, didn't she?
You're not ready for Charitha May. Yes, my English is there.
My accent is thick, but much more is my BDE.
That's right.
She entertained me. I enjoyed her in that.
She was giving Lisa Left Eye Lopez. She was giving, like, you know, there's always that raptress, like in 3LW. Yeah. There was that one girl. She was giving the rapper.
She's giving
the
Alicia
group.
Dixon and Mystique.
I like that.
Gothy Kendall, I've written, there is no evidence.
No, but she is here.
Yes, for the VIP experience. Like Lady Gaga, I was looking for evidence, but I couldn't find any. So that's our UK girls hopping over the pond. Scarlet Envy's been in 2 Rusicals. She was in Trump the Rusical.
Yes. She was good.
She was really good. Nobody contributed their own vocals to that one. It was a bit of a nonsensical Rusical, not my favourite. Like, what was the story? I don't know.
It was, yeah.
Badly written. But Scarlett's performance was good as Betsy DeVos.
That's right.
She was safe. That was a theme for Scarlett. Like, we were talking about the balls and stuff. She does a good job and just gets put safe. She's always been underappreciated. But her Betsy DeVos, she did like a tipsy martini swilling Betsy DeVos, yeah? So that was cool. And then, if you want to count it as a Rusical, All-Stars 6, she did Katy Perry. Sissy, there were...
She did a really great camp job with that performance.
She did.
Absolutely.
She was Left Shark and Katy Perry.
She is a good performer. Absolutely great performer with the acting challenges and all that. You know, sometimes she can verge on being a bit too like that. What was the equivalent to the pink table talk where she was a bit too on?
That's just not her forte. She's not good at revealing herself and being like really sincere and vulnerable on TV. I don't think she has a level of comfort with it. But when it comes to performance, she's great. She switches that persona on and it translates really well.
I wonder more so if it was that she didn't understand the assignment.
I think Scarlett has a tendency, and I love Scarlett a bit. I think she has a tendency to, and this is her choice, to not really reveal herself on camera.
Scarlett, message us and let us know, please.
Scarlett, tell me what horrible bitch I am for calling you fake.
Scarlett, 5, 6, 7, 8, and fake.
It's not. I wouldn't even call her fake. I would say that there's a persona, and that's how she's comfortable being on screen.
Can we stop bashing Scarlett, please? She's my girl, okay?
Thank you very much. All of our girls.
Thank you very much.
Who else do we have here? Now, trotting down
Hannah.
Under. Hannah's never done a Rusical, but she has won a girl group challenge. She was fab as one of the Babs, wasn't she?
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a girl who can move, got great stage presence, a sense of camp. I think she'll do well this week. Now we have La Grande Dame. La Grande, there wasn't a Rusical in Drag Race France season 1. There was a girl group challenge, and it was actually like her only low placement.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. The infallible LGD.
What is it? She can't dance, she can't sing, she can't... What
can't
is it?
Remember specifically. But we've not seen her in an actual Rusical. And I know girl group challenges aren't the same as a Rusical, but so if she's a bit of an unknown quantity today. She will be, yes.
Now Marina.
Marina was in the OPM Divas Rusical.
Before you even say anything,
yeah,
just going off what I know from Marina so far from the season, I'm just going to say a big yes. I think she's going to, yes. I don't know, but going off watching how she performs, mm-hmm. I think that she's got it. And like Filipina, mm-hmm. they are known for being the masters of karaoke. They are. Like they be singing Whitney Houston and Mariah. I'm like, girl, we're just having fun. Calm down. Calm down, girl. Like, why are you pulling up those octaves?
I mean, she's just a fierce performer, and she was high in that episode. Arguably could have won, but Precious Paula won that one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So I think Marina's going to be pretty fierce. So if we're looking at everybody as a whole, I think this is going to be a good Rusical.
Yeah, because any hole is a goal.
Any hole is a goal. I guess going into this, am I worried about anybody? I'm always a little bit worried about our VIP guest, yeah. Gothy Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she has the power to surprise.
All right, let's start again. What's in the first part? I'm going to discuss mm-hmm. Keita being sent home by Tia. How do you feel about this 1 week after?
Complex, still quite multi-complex.
Have you unblocked her on Instagram? What's Tia? Going on? Yeah, are you talking to her? Are you going to post about her? What's happening?
No, she's dead to me. No. On a fundamental level, I'm sad that Keita's gone. Got a real big soft spot for Keita Minaj. Never felt like she got the chance to take off fully in this season. I would have kept her. I think she'd have been fierce in a Rusical. She was fierce in the Rusical on the Fairy Tale Rusical in Holland season 2. I just really wanted to see her get her flowers.
Yeah.
And this could have been a great week for her.
Dare I say, I felt like she was a little underappreciated this season.
Agreed. You know, we love it a bit. In terms of Tia's decision-making process, I'm kind of a bit torn. Part of me thinks this is a very strategic move. She got rid of a big hitter. The other part of me can't help but think she made a solemn promise at the beginning of the episode to the UK girls, like, I'm not sending any UK girls home. And she kind of delivered on that. Misplaced loyalty, maybe? What do you think?
I think it was very, it's a combination of being strategic. I think it's a fall off effect from being loyal. That was first and foremost. It is UK versus the world.
Yeah.
You have to put that into consideration. It mm-hmm. is UK versus the world. So I think that it was loyalty more so.
Yeah.
And I think a follow off from that decision was she also got rid of a very promising competitor.
So it was kind of a beneficial decision all round for Tia, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The thing, the slight complicating factor, I think, is that Gothy was very, very clear last episode that she didn't really have it in her anymore. Tia said to her in the kind of Untucked segment, can you break through whatever barriers are in place at the moment, emotional, psychological? And Gothy specifically said, I don't think I can.
Okay, now that you've reminded me about that, it was very strategic.
Yeah.
It was strategic. Someone said, send me home. Someone gave you a very valid reason to send them home where someone else is fighting for it. But so, yeah, it was very strategic on Tia's behalf. But also, again, UK versus the world.
Yeah. Now, we're back in the room and Tia does say that was Gothy's one pass. And I think that's fair. If I were in a similar sort of situation, I would, on the whole, if what would I do if I were on Drag Race? I think I would vote as fairly as I could. If I had some friendships there, it might be a case of, if it's possible, I will give you one pass, but that's all it is.
I think you're right. I think we would do that.
Yeah.
Like, and there would be a stern talking to I would after the fact.
I would save you in the makeover challenge, but it'd be your only pass.
excuse your mouth.
You know, Yeah.
Tom, it's funny that you think you're going to get that far, but okay. Go off.
I'd go home in the first episode.
Girl, you're going home very fast.
Freeman would take one look at me and be like, just sashay away now,
the
please.
Talent show, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Tom?
I would do some super quick therapy on somebody. I'd do like 1 minute therapy. I'd invite Graham Norton up and do a quick cognitive analytic therapy reformulation diagram.
Serious question. Mm-hmm. Who were you more curious about if you had to choose one of the judges to give a little session to or try to understand a bit more or trying to break the layer?
The UK judges?
The judges, yeah, from the season.
I have...
any UK, it could be Michelle, it could be Rue, it could be any of the judges.
I mean, I guess Rue's the easy answer because Rue's quite a fascinating person who, again, Rue's a person that I think we don't really get to know. I think there are layers and layers and layers to Rue, and I don't think she shows her most vulnerable self at all. But actually, I'd probably most like to spend time getting to know Graham Norton. I've read his autobiography. I think he's a really funny, interesting person.
Mm.
With like a really kind of like cool worldview. He's just like a chill guy.
Work. Were you bringing up Tina Burner, the relationship?
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd be like, Graham, was there something that happened in your relationship that meant that Tina could only wear three colours? And
we know that she turns and burns it, but why did you burn and turn her away in this relationship?
That was good, actually.
We want to know more.
Yeah.
Please tell us. Yeah. Tell us. Okay, so we're in the room. They've had the discussion. Hannah Conda chooses Gothy, which I think we all thought would be the case. And I don't think it needs explanation. I think the obvious person to have sent home would have been Gothy. And
Hannah's very straight talking with it as well.
Do you know what? I was getting vibes of, oh my God, is she going to go as deep as when she went again? Was it
Beverly Hills?
Beverly Hills? What, is she going to like, I felt like, oh, I was like, oh my God, is it coming? Because I did get like a little spidey senses. But I don't think it progressed into that level.
I think Hannah feels that she owes it to people that she likes to be honest with them. And she's a direct, when it comes to that, I think she's a direct, straight talker. But with Gothy, there was nothing unpleasant about what she said. It was very much said with respect and love.
Yeah.
And it was truthful.
Do you know what made me laugh? What made me so cute? What was so cute is that Gothy says, well, I feel like I am competition after that fact, after she said that. And I was just there going, Gothy, that platinum pass you purchased for this immersive experience, it's getting to you, girl.
I mean, she does have the power to surprise us. Who knows what this episode will bring?
She surprised me in this library is open reading challenge. Oh, okay.
She's really good.
I was like, hello.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
That's why she's here. You stop saying that she's got a...
Hold on to that moment. Because, Tom, because, according to Gia, this is the moment that counts.
It's the moment that counts.
This is the moment that counts.
That voice frightened one of the cats, by the way, and he ran out of the room.
The reading challenge, Tom. Any good reads? Any reads that you remember?
I liked Tia's, like, dad joke approach, to be honest.
I thought her jokes were clever. Were they funny? They're like, ha ha ha.
They're very dad joke.
Like, none of the jokes tonight for me were like things that you'll remember, you know. Like, I want you to give me three reading challenges, reads
okay,
off your mind that are iconic that we will always remember, because I don't think we had any from this episode.
Here's an easy one.
Yeah.
Tyra, was your barbecue cancelled? Because your grill is fucked.
I think most of mine is Jujubes.
Yeah.
If I were to step away from that, what's another one? Oh, peppermint. You need one.
That is a good one.
That was a good one.
I'm not very good at remembering reading challenges, actually.
BMW. Body made wrong.
That was Latrice to Jiggly, wasn't it?
Yeah. You're such a fat slut. After six, you smoke hands.
Yes.
Look over there. It's the exit. That was Jinx Monsoon to Jada Essence Hall.
You're very good at remembering reading
I'm
challenges.
Just like, what are the things that like are very memorable?
Oh, this is a really mean one, but it does stick out in my memory. Aja, you're perfect. You're beautiful. You look like Seal.
That's a good one.
Trixie.
Yeah. Oh, you remind me of a Russian doll. Full of yourself.
Oh, and this is a good one because Darianne gave it to Jocelyn Fox. Oh, and Jocelyn then used it on Darianne, thus proving what a comic icon and what an amazing sense of humor Darianne has.
Darianne is amazing.
It's like, Darianne Lake, you're the only girl who sits reverse cowgirl on the toilet, so she's got a flat surface to eat off of.
And going off Darianne, who I think is the queen of the reading challenge, yeah, with Jujubee, adore Delana.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this very slowly so that you can understand. You're dumb.
Also, Bianca, adore, I'll tell you what you got in your SATs. Ketchup.
See, this, I don't think there's going to be any read from this reading challenge that are gonna, you know, stick in my mind. But Tears did make me chuckle, and Goffy made me, so she surprised me.
What about one more? Although this queen has said since that she regrets this read.
Pause. Are you talking about Valentina?
No.
Okay, go on.
Roxy, I think of you every morning when I'm at the bus stop, by Katya.
Why does she regret it? It never happened.
Do you think it's a made-up story?
Isn't that what they say?
No, that's what Alexis... They say Alexis Mateo has basically admitted that her marine sweetheart was made up.
Yeah, but isn't the other rumour...
No, I hadn't heard that.
No, there's a rumour that that her story about the bus stop was made up.
Really?
Yeah. Look, I'm sorry. Like, let me retract this until it's proven.
This is potentially slander.
I heard.
From who?
Girl.
Katya said that she actually thought that in retrospect it was too mean and not funny enough. And obviously a read is a balance, isn't it? All the ones that we've said, there's a lot of meanness in there, a lot of body shaming, actually. But in a reading challenge, I think it, as long as you're funny, it's like a roast, it's no holds barred. And I actually like reads that make me gasp because they're so mean.
Yeah, we like it. The darker, the better. The darker, the better. Mm. So, we know it's musicals. You know, we talked about it before. And because Tia won the challenge, they get to assign the roles for this week's challenge. So, the maxi challenge is seven.
Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven. Based on the sex life of Monica Geller from Friends.
Yes.
That's what the musical is about.
It's a spin-off, really, from Six, the musical.
Which we're going to go see in the summer.
Which we are going to go see. And I want to also see it in London because I like to watch... This is me, okay? Call me a snob, whatever. Before, I like to watch a touring production of a musical. Mm-hmm. I like to either see it first on the West End or Broadway.
But we're seeing it with my lovely sister and my lovely niece, our lovely niece.
Yeah, yes. Our lovely sister and her daughter.
Our niece, yes.
Joking. My lovely, blonde, beautiful niece. Who was my only niece in the UK.
Yes, that's
all
true.
All of them are overseas.
Yes, yes.
All of them are grown. Mm-hmm. They are grown. Jesus, they make me feel old.
Because you are old.
I'm not old. I may look old, but I taste 18. Who's that?
That was
Hell of a Day's
kind
lovely
of makes me
response.
Uncomfortable, that one, for some reason.
Why? It's legal. Jesus, that sounded so
that
wrong.
That is awful, Bolo. No, you want to delete that.
No, I don't. But you know what I mean, Tom. This is the reading that you said you like a dark. So, yeah. So what is it? What is it, Tom? Do you like a dark or do you not like a dark?
Aren't I?
Okay. Yeah. So it's a musical. And the amazing thing is that they're singing live.
Fantastic.
First of all, they're going to star as their royal self. And they're in charge of the lyrics, of the ups and downs of their personal drag race journey. Singing live. Now, each of the songs have a different style. And because Tia won the challenge, she assigns them. Now, this is how the assignments were dished out, really. Tia's chosen verse 4. I don't know what that means yet. We haven't gone past the assignments.
It's slap bang in the middle, though, isn't it?
It's in the middle. She has been like, okay, cool. And it's a big vocal moment. Mm-hmm. Hannah's got the campy song. Charitha has the strong rap verse.
And it's opening. She's got number one, I believe, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Hannah was six, I think.
Well, there's the upbeat verse, which is more disco music theatre. Now, Scarlet Envy's saying that. Now, you know, I've heard Scarlett sing, and, you know, to my trained ears, as a, you know, as someone who's been through vocal, several vocal classes and done many musicals, she's not a singer. She's not. She isn't.
From what she can hold a tune.
She can hold a tune. If it's the right one, it's hard to tell. but she's holding it. There's a tune. But it doesn't take away from Scarlett's power as a performer.
Yes.
Which is, and whenever we look at music theatre, the hierarchy of the three, the trinity, which is, you know, vocals, dance and acting, number one in a musical is acting. I mean, acting is key. It's key.
And you then always
it's
say
a,
this.
Yeah, then it's vocals and then it's dance. That is the hierarchy of what's the most important. You know, and then we have triple threats where they're all of the three. But because I've seen her as a performer, I hope that she really pushes the acting and then this you know, she can talk, sing, whatever, through the power of that performance.
If it's disco-y, she's probably going to have to sing, I think.
Okay.
But we'll see.
We'll see. We got Marina, who's given the attitude-y modern pop song, which absolutely
sounds right
fits
up her street.
Yep. And then La Grande Dame has the funky, slower verse, which is perfect for like a rap or speak rap. Now, La Grande Dame got it, but she did have to, you know, fight Goffy Kendall for it. And this is where Tia comes in and says, look, babes, I saved you. So it's only fair that La Grande Dame gets this.
Fair dues. And then Gothy's one is 80s influenced, which I really like the sound of. I'd be all over that.
But it's the closer.
Yeah. And Gothy, she's really clear going into this. She doesn't really have the confidence to carry anything and she wanted to blend in. So it doesn't bode well, bless her.
Maybe she'll surprise us.
I think she surprises us in the reading challenge. Overall, these feel well cast to me.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of Charitha doing a rap. She feels comfortable with that. Disco feels like a good vibe for Scarlett. I think La Grande Dame is actually going to be fab in like a sing-talky thing. I'm just picturing something really, really French and sensual and cool.
Mm. Okay. Do we have any singers here?
Singers. Tia is a singer. She's in a girl group.
Yes.
Okay, you are not looking convinced. She markets herself as a singer.
Worked. Well, you know what? She did a great job in Rats the Rusical. So I think that she can hold a tune.
She can hold a tune.
She can hold a tune. We'll find out.
Hannah can hold a tune.
Do you know what I'm reminded of? Do you remember that amazing clip that we saw of Tia, Versace?
Oh my God.
Scone.
It's just amazing. Doing Sound of the Underground. Wasn't Vanity Milan there as well?
Vanity Milan. And I'll be honest, in that whole performance, everyone, if you haven't seen it, it's iconic. You must watch it. But Tia was the only one who was actually singing from beginning to end. She was holding it. Like, if she was not there, I think that there would have been so much empty space in that song because Tia really did hold that together. There we go.
So this is her skill. So, yeah. These are her skills as a songstress coming to the fore.
There we are.
I'm trying to think who else is really a singer.
I think
we've got a bunch of girls who can hold a tune, and I'm really excited that
we'll find out.
We're going. The other thing is though, this is the first Rusical where they've written their own verses. I'm sure of that. So it is, as Charitha says, it is blending girl group in there as well.
Yeah,
it feels like a really specific girl group setup. I feel like it's going to be like in segments. There's not going to be big group bits.
Just a quick little exercise for us, because she did say it has to be very, very quick and snappy. You know, that was my name in prison. quick and snappy, because the challenge is that they have to come up with lyrics that talk about their ups and downs of their personal drag race journey.
Yeah.
Let's go through each queen, and from what we have been, you know, what we've learned about them in this season and on the original seasons, what do you think something will come up, something that they might bring about?
Okay. So their drag race journeys.
Yeah. So, for example, Tia. I think fashion. She'll a fashion challenge to a fashion might come up.
I think it's going to be about kind of the polish now matching the talent.
Yeah.
As a kind of general theme. Yeah.
Hannah should do something that she's kind of already done, but talking about her perfection.
Yes.
And how she's like letting loose. Let loose.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hannah's going to talk about, yeah, revealing something of herself that she's not revealed before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Charitha May.
Charitha. I think it's just going to be about maybe...
immigration.
Yeah, because, you know, she does... that's part of her story.
Yeah. She's so happy to have been...
she's a very cheerful lady. I think it's going to be something like, you know, that maybe she wasn't super confident coming into the competition, but she was glad to... be, you know, be near and dear to the fans' hearts, and that she's here with something to prove or something
fan
like that.
Fan favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
Give it up for fan favorite. La Grande Dame, fashion, and France.
And she didn't have a big struggle on her original season, so it's just about sailing through the competition.
Marina?
Actually, just one thing with Grande Dame, I think she would reflect on her struggle over the past couple of weeks, really. And that's her first, like, difficulty in a Drag Race story.
Okay. Marina, bombshell. She's going to be like, I'm a Filipino superstar.
Yeah. Sailing
I'm
through the competition.
I'm a Filipina.
She really is somebody who sails through both a previous and current competition.
You know what, Marina? I would love it if you just talked about the ups in your drag career, yeah, and nothing else. Don't...
just tell it like it is, Marina.
Yeah, I think that's what she should do. Absolutely. Yeah. Scarlet Envy.
Being like underappreciated, I think. Having like two rounds of doing well. But I wanted her to be like brave enough to be honest with what she thinks. And like, I've been here twice before and been horribly underappreciated. So you better pay attention to me now.
Yeah. Third time lucky. I'm going global.
Oh, I love it. It's writing itself, isn't it?
Something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Taking over the world.
What rhymes with global? Noble. Snowball.
Faux ball.
Yes.
Low ball.
Good.
And who else? Goffy. Goffy should just be like, I'm happy to be here.
Just having a lovely time.
First out, but now, last one standing. Unfair competition.
Taking it week by week. Yeah. Oh, I just love her so much.
I'm a fashion girl.
The fashion girl with something to prove. I was the pork chop of the UK. But now I'm, you know, filet mignon.
Filet mignon. Yeah. Look at my OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know.
And OnlyFans rhymes with spam. Spam. I was pork chop, but now I'm spam.
Jesus. Is it an upgrade or a dog? That's the dog.
It's sideways.
Yeah. Jesus. And then that's everyone.
That's everyone. We've done it. We've written their musicals for them.
Now, we've decided to just keep watching, and we've gone to the runway. We've gone to the maxi stage, challenge. We've just seen the performance of Seven, the Confessions of a Drag Superstar.
We have. So we've seen the vocal practice session, the choreo practice session, the lovely self-esteem supporting them today. Happens to follow me on Instagram, actually. Oh. Yeah.
Give her a shout out. Hi, thank you for listening. Thank you for following.
Well, I don't know if she listens, but she follows on Instagram.
She listens. and I do want to say that she gave great feedback.
Yeah, I thought so too.
In the rehearsals, but also I felt like, you know, there was that one time on the UK Drag Race when they had that girl, that lovely ginger girl, come in as the snatch game.
Stacey Dooley.
Stacey. Mm. And like, it was like the night before she did her homework and was just trying to show everyone she was down with the Drag Race kids. She was just like, oh, like, sashay away.
She did Drag Vocabulary 101.
Yeah. And I feel like either she was fed a lot of these lines by the producers or she did her research.
No, I think she's actually a big fan. Like, she toured with Shea Coulee and stuff.
Oh, so she did
Yeah, some of these were like fairly deep cuts, like Banana Drama when she spoke to Tia. Like, I don't think everybody would clock that that was her girl group name necessarily, because they weren't the winning group and stuff.
Well, yeah, she was also like, are you the drama?
Just Yeah. All that, yeah.
And then she did it. She came up with a lot of what the girls were well known for.
I think it was more organic than it was a Stacey. Just...
Well, I'd love to believe that, so I'll take it.
I choose to believe it. Can I just say one thing? Can I ask, what do you think about them not giving the girls a choreographer?
I think it's good in the sense that at least when you're doing your own part, you're choreographing something that you know you can do. And so at the end of the day, all you're doing is focusing on the performance and not trying to focus on the 5, 6, 7, 8, do this, you know.
Okay.
So it takes a lot of that stress away.
Okay, it's in my untrained brain. I thought it was like, oh, maybe it'd be nice to help the girls out with the choreo. But I get what you're saying, definitely.
Maybe for the ensemble moments, have been, you know, helpful. But then at least when it's collaborative, the majority, hopefully, of people doing the movement, it's been collaborated with. And this, oh, I can do this, I can't do that. Whereas when it's someone coming in, you have to learn it.
Yeah.
And it's added stress on an already stressful situation.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Help.
But the rehearsals were great. Let's just go through the performances. The first thing I want to say, and I know that she's right at the end, but for me, the star, the standout of this whole performance has got the
Oh, I mean, I was constantly looking for her.
I can't. Usually we go.
Should we just start with Gothy?
Yeah. Usually we go in order, but like I have to start with Gothy because she is just, you know, she's like that little. You know when you watch performances of kids and you see that there's that one kid that is super off, like running across the stage to get to this.
That's my favorite bit. The literal. She trotted in front of 3 or 4 girls to get to her spot.
There was just, like, sometimes I felt like, you know when you watch those translated Japanese or Chinese, like, movies,
right,
and then someone's mouth's still moving, even though the dialogue stopped talking.
Yeah.
I just felt like that was, the visual of that is Gothy Kendo, who was like, on delay. It was like it was lagging. It was like is the call connected? Is the Wi-Fi connected? Because she was doing moves like a good 4 count after everyone else.
There's that leg stroke, wasn't there?
There's a leg stroke. There was that she didn't bother to turn around. She in one part everyone's doing hand curry and she's just standing there with a mic. I think one part she just, you know, was just like, oh girl, what?
Where am I?
Do you know where you are? I loved it. It was beautiful, mate.
I know. She. I mean, we love her to bits, and she helped to make this what it was, didn't she? I think she was working hard, but felt really overwhelmed and literally could not. She was like, I would have been, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? What is this choreo? She looked $1 million. I loved her in this futuristic, very, very modern sort of lavender and silver plated catsuit. And I loved her with that high pony and the bangs and stuff. The verse I thought was actually quite funny and well written.
It's me, Gothy's back on your TV. When I step up on the runway, never going to sashay. Well, once. But it was a rough day.
I like
back
that
here
one.
To show who I am. First out queen, just a sham. All your queens on the floor, better watch out, bitches hair at me raw. You know, it was a cute. Yeah, she's back on the TV. She was first out. It was cute. It was cute. It was a cute verse. I was glad to see her have her moment.
Yeah.
What I do want to say is that I think compared to everyone, when it's your verse, generally, you don't want to be crowded. You kind of want people in your background and you in the foreground. And you don't want people really taking your light or your center from you. And I think every other queen did that. But Gothy, maybe it was... she didn't choreograph it, but she did approve the choreography. But what I think is that she felt comfortable performing and kind of hiding from center stage by sharing it very closely with everyone else. So that, yes, eyes are on me, but it's on us. Whereas everyone, when this is the moment that's yours, you kind of don't want to share it. And if you do share it, you don't want to share it too much.
The other queens were practically pushing the other girls out of the way for their spotlight moment.
I would be like, okay, everyone, for this one, if you could all just get off the stage, just go to the back. Yeah, just for my verse. No, it's going to be really fun. You're going to love it. Just go to the back.
I'm Diana Ross. Some water. You're the Supremes.
Go touch up your makeup. Go fix your hair. Fix your mug. And then come back when the chorus is back on. I'm like, get off the stage. Yeah. I don't need anyone taking it from me.
I don't need anyone else. But, so, yeah, I know what you mean, because I could see the likes of Scarlett Envy kind of mugging the raw moment more than Gothy was. Now, 10 out of 10 for effort, and she made this what it was, and we were watching her the whole time, but possibly not the strongest performer of the evening.
She's going to be doing that walk that she does right to the bottom, and but she made this entertaining.
She really, really did. Right, who's next?
Let's start from the beginning. Charitha May. Charitha came in, she came in hot. She opened it beautifully. She opened it confidently. Mm-hmm. She opened it strong.
Yes.
Center. Held it. It was good. It was good for me.
Her look set her apart, I thought, because everybody else is in bodysuits and she was in this almost Versace-esque sort of mirror dress with the big hair and the kind of furry stole. I really liked her look. It was different, almost like a 60s vibe to it compared to what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. Her verse was very like, I'm coming in hot, I'm strong, like spicy, like margarita. She messed up the first time, but she's come back stronger. BDE, let me say it. You know, the world's ready for me now. It was.
Good, fun, Charitha May energy. I really enjoyed her.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Scarlet Envy was next. I mean, you clocked the look.
The look was very Madonna Confessions on the Dance Floor, but it's a twist. I'm 90% sure that's what she was going for. Madonna was wearing a purple jacket with a leotard, a leather jacket. Hers was more sequins with the leotard, but very, very Confessions era Madonna. I almost wish she'd done the flicky Farrah Fawcett hair as well.
Scarlett the Good. She came in and then vocally, she was good.
More impressive than her talent show.
It made me question whether this was live, and if it is live, you know, how much vocal effects were being used.
You pose a good question. I think this was live. I think a bit of echo was thrown on Scarlett's.
Okay.
I actually thought her vocals were good, but, you know, this isn't to say that her vocals were bad in any way. I thought they were really good, actually, and much better than her talent show. Maybe the style of singing just suits her better and she shouldn't do cabaret sort of thing. But there was definitely a little bit of production help. It was like double tracked or echo or something.
When I heard her sing in the rehearsals, this sounded nothing like that. And that was raw.
Yes. But
and
not,
she was singing it there.
It's so not like I could hear auto-tune or anything. It wasn't like bubbly and auto-tuned. It was like echo.
Okay.
But other girls had drier mics, and we'll get to that, I think.
Scarlett, we'll just assume that everyone here is live.
Yes, yes, yes.
She did a good job. She sounded nice. And I think her being on, as she is, with how she performs, really works this genre of
definitely.
7-6.
I think she's fab on stage. She has great presence.
Yeah.
Yeah, really fun to watch.
Great. Talk about presence. It's Marina.
What a firecracker.
Before I even talk about her verse, she was just the superstar pop diva anytime the camera was near her.
Yes.
You cannot show me a clip. Show me a clip of her not being on.
Yes.
It's almost though she didn't see anyone else on stage and she was center stage. In her mind, she was all eyes were always on her.
Yeah.
No matter where she was, because she performed that way. And then when she hit her center, when she hit her verse, I just believed her. This badass bitch, this Filipina diva coming
Filipina?
Here. Filipina? Filipina diva coming here. And her verse was what we, you know, she's a her verse was very that. I'm a bad bitch. I'm a diva. I'm this agent from Faraway Nation. I'm going to make it right. You're going to hear about me now. Filipina domination.
It was
I'm going to take the world.
It's like, I've always been confident, but now I'm spreading it across the world kind of thing, wasn't it?
It's kind of like, she didn't talk about, like, other people are like, you know, the first time wasn't good, now I'm here to make it right. We've heard it twice in different versions from Truth and Scarlet and of Gothy. Marina didn't talk, there was nothing about...
No.
I did, but it was just about, I'm here to dominate. You didn't hear about us. Why? I'm going to tell you about it because I'm, you know, I'm this bitch. I was just like, yo, that's kind of what I expected you to do. Yeah. And she did it.
Did you see Drag Race Philippines season one? I dominated. There's just no reason for you to doubt that I'll dominate here. It was very that.
And that's a wrap.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree with you. And in the group choreo, she looked sharp. She was on. She was just so good, and like exactly as you said, in everybody's group shots, my eye was sometimes drawn to her because she was so expressive in the face, and
also her styling, the hair made her. Also, I mean, also she does draw your attention.
Yeah,
the power of that coming from someone. She is tiny.
Yeah, but she's amazing. But she fills the stage.
She is so, like, she is stage present. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Tia. Don't give me a bing, bang, bong. I'm going to hit you with a brand new song. She says, Baroness Basics' reign is over. I'm not a star. I'm a supernova. And you know how I know that she's not joking?
No.
Because she does that thing that artists do, especially rappers, when they start pointing to myself like, you know, I'm not joking.
I'm not joking,
I am a supernova. I'm being serious. I'm being serious. Look. They start pointing at themselves like... That made me laugh. I'm like, that's just so...
Just don't doubt me.
That's just so serious. Mm. Like, had a glow up, switched my flow up. I'm going to take over the world. Yeah, this is Tia. What do you think about her performance?
I thought she was good. Obviously, she had like the central moment. I think she chose a vocally challenging part. And on the most part, I think she delivered. I think her vocals were good. We were talking about effects and stuff. I thought her mic sounded drier than Scarlett's.
Okay.
I don't think they gave her the courtesy of a little bit of echo or something to smooth things out. And it might have been nice, actually, for that to happen. Having said that, she took her moment. She had good stage presence and the vocals were good.
Yeah, the vocals did sound a bit more raw.
Yeah, I do think so. And they shouldn't do that. If you're going to do it for somebody, you should do it for everyone.
I mean, it's the Blair clean slate.
Don't go there. 999 lives. 999 lives.
And then we hear Juju B.
Soaring like a bird.
She's got the Ariana Grande auto-tune all over it. And it's just like, come on. Come on.
Whereas poor Blair was... Oh, it's the they weren't doing an All Stars 2, but a Fifi O'Hara's a cappella.
Jesus. I was just like, yeah, yeah. Can everyone clap your hands?
Yeah.
That was, that's
let's
cringe.
Beat it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's so cringe.
And I love it. I love it.
Sorry, where are we? Who, Tia. Yeah, I think.
Back to Tia.
It was okay. You know what? It was okay.
She didn't have lots of complex choreo.
Okay.
She didn't do as much choreo as some of the other girls.
I liked her rap.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was, there was, for me, there was nothing like bam about it.
Bam!
There's nothing bam about it. Then we got La Grande Dame. I'm Alpha, Omega, you call it the beat, you drop a pulse, I drop the beat. Kiki, Winnie, Bella Hadid, Kiki, Fashion Week, that's what we did. Carried the season on the race. That's what I did. It started the season. I'm happier on it. Check the verse. I'm not fooling around. I was a big deal then. I'm a bigger deal now.
Her verse was thematically a bit similar to Marina's, wasn't it? Like, I kind of aced my season and I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
I liked her charisma. I liked her stage presence. I enjoyed her rap. She looked $1 million. I think she's wearing Kevin Germanier. She looked like Cher wearing Kevin Germanier.
She was like a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She walked to the front. She stayed in the front. And she just gave, you know, a good rap.
Yeah.
I can't really say more than
that.
She
moved around a bit.
She
moved around a bit. Went up and down. Bopped
about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
Not a lot of interaction with the other girls that I can think of.
Good on her. They're back up.
Yeah. Did you pick her out much in group shots or anything? Or is there anybody else that we've mentioned apart from Marina that you picked out in? Obviously, we've got Hannah to go, but in group choreography, anybody you thought was tight and doing well?
Goffy.
I mean, no. our little doll.
I think in general, everyone did well.
I think so too. Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah.
So last but not least.
No, not last. Hannah and Gothy. Oh, not Hannah. You're right.
We've done Gothy. Thank you.
I could do her again. Hannah. Here comes Hannah with a campy verse. Please understand that
this is out of love for Gothy Kendall because she's really entertained us this episode.
Here comes Hannah with a campy verse. So typecast, I think I'm cursed. Worse at a funeral, I make you laugh. Lost to a queen who wore no pants. Now I'm glamdiculous. Here in the UK, this is a big slate. Hannah, for me, Hannah, kind of, you know, and I love Hannah. She's my sister from across the way.
Yeah.
I find a little, I'm trying to decide if it was not the verse, but, you know, that part of the song that she was given that was a bit difficult, but it just wasn't it for me.
I thought the verse was really well written and funny. One of the funniest verses. I thought she did a good job there. The bit about a loss to a queen who wore no pants was
I loved
just
it.
Crack
so
me
if,
up.
If no one knows, and you know, the first thing that popped into my mind, Spanky Jackson's episode one where she made those tubes
pool noodles.
I love it. Hannah is better than this. I'm Hannah Kanda. Welcome to the snake pic. It's a pizzella. It's an embracer.
Yeah.
You know, like I've heard a rap. I've heard her do a song before, and it's just, yeah. And it was a little...
I think she might have had a level of discomfort with this section because it was suggested for her by others, and she was like, well, and she even made a joke out of being typecast, and she's like, I'll give it a go. However, she made me smile. She had a joyful energy. But I get what you mean. She might have been...
Oh, she will always bring great presence.
Yeah. She might have been a little overshadowed by some of the other solo performances.
I think it was just the verse. I don't know how. I don't know how to take it.
Is it something about the composition, you mean, of this?
Yeah, I don't.
Verse?
Like...
Not what she wrote, but the music and the change of pace and the campy...
Yeah, maybe
theme.
It's a combination. It was just a bit... Hannah is better than this, and I know that. I think she knows that.
You wanted to see some sort of fierceness and ferocity and...
No, I just wanted better. And another way... I can't explain it. I was just a little underwhelmed.
Okay, that's fine. Well.
But she's still on my top three for the season, so she's not going to be in the bottom. She's amazing.
We have got a redemption runway, which I'm really excited for. But based on the... do you want to... I don't know if we've got time, but maybe we could guess what people are going to try and redeem. But before we go onto the runway, based on performances alone, who are your tops?
My top's Marina.
Yeah. She's a shoo-in. Marina is definitely in the top two this week. And she'll be lip-syncing for her legacy and she'll probably win.
Marina. My bottom is Gothy.
It just has to be. Much as she was the actual star of the show, it just has to be. Who's up there with Marina? Could it be Scarlett? Could it be Charitha?
Do we need to watch it one more time just to confirm things very quickly? Very quickly. I want to give you... We just watched it again.
One more time.
I want to give you like a less than 60-second quick review. Yep. Charitha was amazing. She opened it so strong.
Uh-huh.
For that, I'm giving her props. I did start to see... Scarlett was off in the curry a couple of times from what I saw. Once when they're trying to do like Filipina part with... Marina. And then another part where they had to do a slide, but she was doing her own thing. At the same token, I do want to say that I did see La Grande Dame doing her own thing during very obvious group Corrie, and she wasn't center, so I was like, okay, that must be off.
Okay.
So, but I realized the reason I don't like Hannah's verse is because there was no rhyme with the ha 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 and the for me, it didn't make sense in the verse. And that was it. But Hannah as a performer throughout and in her verse was really good.
She's just really solid,
isn't she?
She's
really solid.
Yeah.
Confirmed that Marina was definitely the top for me.
Yes.
Tia for me was, I think, in her verse, I would say there was a bit of a... are you supposed to be doing that in the group in your Kairi going down? You came out a little early. It didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You could have done something else that made you seem more center, but it was a bit off. Okay. And then the verse and the looking to the side, it looked, maybe it was like her style, but it made her look to me a little unsure.
Unsure, okay.
But also, yeah, and yeah. The top this week is Marina. If I had to choose another top based solely on their solo performances, mm-hmm. Charitha May. They did show a lot of clips of Charitha May looking around. I'm like, why? She's struggling.
Yeah. It felt like they were trying to frame her a little bit.
And I'm like, so no, Charitha's killing it.
I hope
it
doesn't play out that way, because I thought overall she was really, really fab.
She was, yeah, I'll put her in the top. The bottom for me is, you know, is our lovely Gothy. Mm-hmm. And if I had to put someone else in the bottom, I would, on their verse,
yeah.
I would say Tia.
Really?
Okay. Tia, and maybe, I don't know, La Grande Dame, perhaps?
You didn't really resonate. I liked hers more than you liked hers, definitely.
I mean, maybe I just didn't get it. Maybe because I want more.
Okay.
That's it. That's what I think, okay?
Should we see if the runway affects our opinion?
Yes, but quickly, I know you wanted to do this.
What?
I know that it's going to be, it's redemption, isn't it?
Love a redemption runway. It should be on every All-Stars season.
Are there any particular queens that stand out to you or on a look that you think that they should redo?
Gothy should just redo the Tiger runway in a, like, a really grand way, I think.
Absolutely.
Tiger stripes, beautiful black ball gown. Tia... Tia's got her work cut out for her.
She's got her choice of outfits, girl.
Could be the pterodactyl.
Could be the ice
could
cream.
Could be the ice cream.
Could be the green
could
thing.
Could be the green thing.
She's...
Take your pick. Yeah. But she would be the first to laugh about that. Tell you what, she has like four looks, but stitched together, just referencing a bunch of them, right?
Mm.
A bit like Michael Mulroney doing the Spice Girls. Hannah didn't have a dud runway. That I can think of.
Or La Grande Dame.
La Grande Dame's never had a dud.
I don't think she would either.
Marina, nothing springs to mind. She had fab looks, lots of fashion references.
Scarlett
has had one or two duds, I'm sure. Possibly something off season 11, because she looked great on All Stars. But then, like...
What would
maybe one of her design looks, in the sense, remember that she was criticized for the workmanship on the Violet Chachki inspired one, for example, because that holds in it, even though she looked fab.
All right.
Who else have we got? That's everyone, isn't it? Oh, Charitha. Charitha might redo her design look because she was put in the bottom for it.
Category is glow up, and we're starting with our pterodactyl queen, Tia. Tom, you caught it. Here she is. Do you think that's glow up?
Is that a drag queen name? Terry Dactyl? Like Terry Hatcher? Anyway.
Okay. No, you're just trying too hard.
I really am, aren't I? So based on a prehistoric pterodactyl look, this is a lot more detailed, a lot more sophisticated. Lovely painted bodysuit, mechanical wings. And I particularly love the hair that was whipped and sculpted into a pteranodon shape. So overall, definitely just continues the Tia Coffey journey of into fashion and polish. She looks great.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's definitely glow up. What about Miss Scarlet?
This is lovely. I actually enjoyed the original. It was a construction challenge, the Monster I'd Like to Frock, where she made hers based on the Creature from the Black Lagoon, had this kind of Libori-esque face mask kind of thing going on. The original looked very different, but I do enjoy this. This is a different take. I just don't think the original needed improving that much, especially for a design challenge look. Very detailed mermaid sequins, paneling. It's almost like luchador-esque look to the mask.
Mm.
Really, really great look.
It gave me Asia O'Hara mermaid vibes.
Yeah, in the mask, definitely.
But,
yeah.
But I love all the shiny things. It makes me like
really it. Really pretty and expensive looking. Yeah.
Hannah, I mean, her looks amazing, but like she killed the runway.
Was great.
Some of these queens, you're like, they don't need to glow up. But to be honest, they had to do something. They had to choose an outfit.
Hannah had nothing to choose from because she looked great.
And I think some other girls had that difficulty as well. But yeah. Go on, Hannah.
Hannah's amazing. So her original was the lovely Gautier inspired Belts, Buckles and Chains look. This, what I like about this is she took the opportunity to transform it into a tribute to the Dykes on Bikes. She tells their story, and I just love, because I think one thing that Drag Race doesn't do a good enough job of is shining a spotlight on gay women, and I just love when that does come up. So this look, she looks polished. She looks like every inch the lesbian biker. She looks tough. She looks sexy. This leather trench coat, beautifully made, beautifully worn. She looks great.
Gothic Kendo. Now, Tom, you didn't miss. You
I had
did
a 50% chance.
You had a 50-50 chance.
She was going to do her entrance look. I had a 50% chance and I missed.
So the queen, what do you think about it, the queen look?
So the original look did need an upgrade, because you remember there was like the nude top and the tulle dress, and it just looked really underdone. It looked a bit anemic. This looks gorgeous. I really like this colour. It's like a deep slaty teal. She looks like $1 million. She looks really gorgeous, very sophisticated. I think this might be a reference to a dress the Queen wore when the Kennedys visited, potentially. Okay. Mm-hmm. But she looks beautiful, very, very gorgeous.
The next look is just drop dead, like stab me in my eyes. I don't need my sight anymore. Gorgeous.
I'm done looking at the world.
With sight. I've seen everything.
I've seen it all.
Marina. This look is, you know what? RuPaul's going to steal this look.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This look is amazing.
It's got a wow from Rue as well, didn't she? So again, the original needed no upgrade. It was for the Terno, She Better Don't Runway. So obviously the Terno shoulder is a very classic Filipina staple. Very iconic. I'm really tripping over my words. But it's synonymous with Filipina fashion. Very distinctive shoulder shape. So she has transformed it into this beautiful aquatic, I thought lionfish, but she said the national fish, milkfish, is what inspired it. I don't know what a milkfish looks like, but you can picture a lionfish, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
With their spikes and their frills and stuff. She looks absolutely beautiful, expensive. Love this tulle, love the sequins.
I think this is probably so far the look of the season. I haven't been like wowed like this from the season. This is amazing.
This is
well
beautiful.
Done.
This is really, really beautiful.
Charitha?
Charitha, so she upgraded her Expenny Henny look. And to be fair, the original was you know, not particularly elevated.
Oh, no. It was. She was going to the mall with Mystique Summers.
Oh.
And that,
but it's what the real women wear in Texas, honey.
Well, that's... Charitha wasn't the same girl.
I'm not going to offend my family in Texas, honey. You know?
Why is... Does it have to be offensive? Why can't it just be paying tribute?
No, honey.
honey. Honey.
Turn those cameras off. Turn those cameras off me. Bring her back for All Stars.
I don't want to be recorded. Did you hear me?
Did you hear me?
Jesus.
And then Tyra imitating her later in the season.
That's the best thing ever.
She looks great. This is very Charitha. I love Charitha's style in the sense it's very maximalist, you know. She adds, she embellishes, but she does it in a tasteful way. The proportions are great. This lame bodice with the train is really amped up, you know. She looks kind of like a comic book cowgirl superheroine. Mm. This is really cool.
The last look was La Grande Dame. Now let me take over.
Okay, wow.
This
so ballet is fashion.
Reference to the 1965 couture runway of Yves Saint Laurent.
Thank you very much, Bala. Thank you. And how do we know this?
Because I just made a video of this for the Instagram.
You did.
In comparison to your post with Nymphia
Wind. I could buy myself flowers. Look, the shape of it was inspired by this kind of iconic knitted YSL bridal gown.
And I find it so funny that it's literally on the runway tonight. Like, we did not know at all. So I don't care if you think you were doubling up, but I'm making a video of
it's
this
going up
right
there.
Now, and it's going right back up.
Frankly, we need the material. No, but this is cool. This is fun. What I love about this is that she is like celebrating the kind of absurdity of the original piece. It's a very accurate depiction, but this has been made out of condoms. So it's an upgrade of one of her original. I mentioned this look earlier in the season in the sense that she looked great in it, but she spat on the runway and made me feel a bit sick. And she did it again. And again, it turned my stomach a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of spitting, but there we go. Her face is beautiful in this. Her face looks so immaculate, peeking out of this little hole. So there's a lot of beauty, but also a lot of camp here. So I enjoyed it a lot, apart from the gobbin on the floor.
My favorite look on the runway, hands down, is Marina.
I mean, that's drag. That's just drag, Mama.
Which confirms to me that she is the winner. Lip sync or not, she's the winner.
A great week for Marina. Great. So we're thinking up there with her. We enjoyed Charitha a lot, didn't we?
Yeah, but they make it seem like Charitha was lost and confused. I don't know. I didn't see it.
I had to smile from within. Let's just go with what we think.
Yeah.
Charitha was great. A lot of the other girls I did enjoy, you know, there were little flaws here and there, but I really enjoyed Hannah. I did enjoy Scarlett, in spite of her struggling, well, not struggling, being off in the group choreo at times. But Gothy's our girl who's in the bottom. I think we'll just see who the judges think will go there with her.
Quickly, the tops this week, Marina, we knew, but also Tia, which is, you know, kind of surprised me.
Surprised us a little, but there we go. The judges loved it. I think the biggest surprise was Charitha being in the bottom.
Yeah, I didn't see any. That's what I hate, because a lot of times when they bring up things, a lot of the times that we didn't see, but maybe they saw, but I don't know, because she was amazing in the opening. She opened strong.
I don't
get it. It's the math ain't math thing for me.
I can kind of get why they didn't like her runway look. I personally liked it just because it was very Charitha. There we go. So Gothy and Charitha are in the bottom two. But what did you think of the lip sync to a self-esteem song?
Marina. Like, you should be afraid to go up against her, because, you know, she's petite, but she is a firecracker.
She really is.
Strong performer. You know what? And take away her dynamic moves. She knows texture. Mm-hmm. She knows when to hit. She knows when to be sultry. And she knows when to explode. Like, she just understands performance.
Yes.
And it's hard. And it would also be quite scary to go up against her, because you don't know what she's going to do, because her musicality is just, it's delicious. To watch her perform is just amazing. I mean, she did that look thing that the judges she added that in. Like, she's just your performer. This was hands down a Marina performance featuring Tia.
Beautiful and powerful. Tia gave it a roll, but there's nobody on that stage but Marina, frankly. Should we see what the judges think?
The winner was Marina, her second badge. Also,
second badge. I will say, for Tia, it's her third time in the top two, though.
Tia, you're killing it, girl.
She really is.
You're killing it, girl. We need to mention that the very rare You're Born to Do Drag was bestowed upon Marina. So she's now up there with Georges, up there with Versace.
Crystal Versace. Yeah. Plastic tiara, did she get one?
I feel like
she got a hug.
That's green screen. That's it. I want raw footage from that, okay? Because I don't believe that was green screen. We do say bye to Gothy, though.
Oh.
You know what? I kind of wanted her to make it all the way to the finale, just because I think she's just amazing to watch.
I get where you're coming from, because she's added so much value to this season, and we've loved watching her. She's relatable. She's vulnerable. We've all been Gothy at one time or another. She's lovable. And, you know, she did have her... your expression then, you've never been Gothy, have you?
No.
You've never been relatable. But she has had her high points and some really enjoyable moments. So we are sad to go. What I will say is, it felt like her story was done, and I'm glad she's not being Roxy Andrewed to the finale. And to be honest, Charitha, I think, has a lot more to offer the competition at this point. So we will miss you, Gothy.
Yes.
I think we'll stop reviewing UK vs. the World 2 at this point.
No, great episode. I loved it. Next week's more dancing, so you're welcome.
I think, if it's anything, because there's six girls and it's called Strictly Come Prancing, I think it's going to be like the Season 7 Prancing Queens challenge, is my prediction. They'll be pairing up and maybe doing boy-girl looks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, join us next week and see. This is Bolo.
And Tom.
We'll see you guys very soon.
Lots of love, guys. See you soon.